This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Man, the Eagles made Debo look like Michael Jordan.
What? Come on, man.
He had three touchdowns. He had like about 200 total yards. Like, this guy killed us. He absolutely destroyed us. And he talked the most trash out of everyone on both teams. He talked the most trash, and he had the best game. And that's what infuriates me, because the Niners fan put their stuff on the Rocky statue. 49ers came in here, talked their trash. They've been talking trash all year. They keep saying they would have won the game if Brock Purdy played. And I'm like, y'all just going to let them come in here and do that? 42-19? But all I can say now is that they're not that good. And I'm just like, here we go. But to be fair, the Eagles got the same kind of praise after we beat the Chiefs. Like, we beat the Chiefs. Everyone was saying we're the best team in the league and we're the Super Bowl favorites and Jalen's the MVP. So now it's the 49ers' turn. Everyone's saying Brock Purdy is in the MVP conversation. The 49ers are far and away the best team. All that. Oh, I see why people were saying the Eagles were overrated. But, you know, when it comes to the Niners, yeah, they blew out the Eagles and the Cowboys. But they also lost to the Browns, the Vikings, and the Bengals. Y'all going to make excuses and say Debo and Trent Williams didn't play. But y'all need things to be perfect to win games. If that's the case, then y'all in trouble. That's why in the playoffs, I truly believe that the Eagles or the Cowboys will beat the 49ers. If not those guys, then the Lions will upset them, because I think the Lions can match up with them. They're the style they play, the way they play, I feel like they can match up with them. Now, their defense is falling off, the Lions, so I'm a little worried about that. But I feel like they have the offense that can keep the 49ers offense off the field. I mean, when it comes to Eagles, I felt like they should have ran the ball more. I know they wasn't doing much on the ground when they did try to run the ball, but there's a few more attempts and maybe some shorter passes, because that's what they were doing to us. That's what the 49ers were doing to us. But I just cannot, I refuse to buy in to the 49ers Super Bowl hype. I just don't. I just can't. Because I've seen this movie before. I watched them choke against the Rams, a team that they had no problem with in every other game except that NFC Championship. I watched them choke against them. I watched them choke the Super Bowl. I watched them choke against the Eagles. Even this year when, you know, they was blowing everybody out, they were undefeated. It looked like they weren't going to be stopped. And then the Browns game happened. Right after they beat the Cowboys, we did this exact same thing. We just crowned them Super Bowl champs. Don't know how they're going to be stopped. And then they lose to the Browns. They had four turnovers. And that's what we didn't do against the 49ers. We didn't force turnovers. We didn't. That's been the problem all season. The lack of turnovers. I think the only two games really where, yeah, turnovers were a factor, I think, was against the Patriots and, you know, the Commanders. They had a big interception, but the Chiefs game, turnovers were everything. If we didn't force those turnovers, we would have lost. They usually get at least one. If they get at least one, they're good. That's good enough. They didn't get one against the 49ers. They did whatever they wanted. The 49ers did whatever they wanted in the second half. And Debo is just running past defenders. Once he get past second level, he's not getting touched. This is unreal. The fact that he's able to shrug off a linebacker and outrun our secondary is ridiculous. He did that twice. Now, the first one should have been called back because there was an egregious hold by number 10. Honestly, I think a Christian McCaffrey touchdown had a hold by George Kittle. He was holding two people at the same time. I've never seen anything like it. They had three touchdowns that could have been called back by holds. That those drives could have been field goals. But obviously it's not the ref's fault we lost, because all that stuff happened in the first half. Most of that stuff happened in the first half. So at the end of the day, the reason why the Eagles lost, I just don't understand why they kept giving up 5-6 yards of pop on the ground. Now, we're not the number one rush defense anymore. Definitely not after that game. But we're still top five. I figured they'd do better against Christian McCaffrey on the ground. I figured they would, and they didn't. Now, I don't know what they did in the first quarter, because the first quarter, they were dominant. Like, the 49ers had, like, single digits total yards in the first quarter. Yet, the Eagles were only up 6-0 because we missed opportunities in the red zone. Especially that Jalen Hurts sack, that coverage sack, that was ridiculous. No one was open. We needed better play calling. Especially in that first quarter. Because we really could have ran away with this game in the first quarter. But we didn't, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and we just got ran off the field. But the two biggest reasons they lost is they couldn't stop the 49ers on the ground, and third down offense and defense just was not good. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. They could not get off the field on third downs. And on offense, if they were anywhere more than – third and one or third and two, they didn't convert. You have to get those. That could be the difference in the game. But at the end of the day, like I said on Instagram and TikTok, I'm not that worried, because the bird is the word, and they're still going to win the NFC. They're still going to the Super Bowl. The 49ers, I'm not buying the hype. They're going to lose. They could lose as early as the second round. Like, at best, they'll lose in the Super Bowl. If they make the Super Bowl, I'll give them their credit. But they're not winning the Super Bowl. Whoever they play on, if they somehow make the Super Bowl, which they won't, they're going to play against the Ravens, which we kind of get a preview of that, I think, in a few weeks. I think the game is here. I think the game is in Baltimore. I might want to go see that. Anyway, they beat Baltimore. I mean, if they meet against Baltimore, Kansas City, the Dolphins, like, I don't think they can beat them. I don't. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I don't think they beat any of them teams. I'm just keeping it real. I don't know who else coming out of there. I don't know. The Jaguars have fell off. They lost to the Bengals. They couldn't stop a ham sandwich, just like the Wizards.
He got cooked.
But anyone else come out of the AFC, I think they can beat the Niners. I think they can give their defense fits. But I don't even think the 49ers are going to make it out the NFC. You may say I'm hating. I swear to God, they're not. I promise you. Especially since, you know, they need everyone to be healthy. Like, They lose either Debo, Trent Williams, or McCaffrey. All of a sudden, they're compromised, but I think it's an excuse. They're just not as good as you think they are. They're not, like, they're good. They're going to be there at the end, but they're not far and away the Super Bowl favorites. Like, you guys got to stop for 1 second, bro. They will get figured out like they have before. And there will be better game planning in the playoffs. So let's not crown them just yet. They played a great game. They were very physical. And hopefully, you know, the Eagles make adjustments. Because 8 out of the first 12 games they played, I mean, the quarterback they went against went for 300 yards or more passing. That's crazy. That's a serious problem that they're going to have to fix very soon, because this team has the talent to win the whole thing. They just keep playing around. Inconsistent on offense, and defense has struggled. And not forcing enough turnovers at times. Got to get it going, man. Like, I'm not too worried about the Niners' loss. We're going to be fine. The Cowboys, they're going to get this work. Now, hopefully, we figure out how to stop the Cowboys on defense. I know it's looking like a bad matchup, but listen, we got through it the first time, and I'm telling you the second time, we got this. We're going to make a statement. This is a statement we got to make. We can really lock up the NFC East right here in Dallas. Do not play with these guys. I know they can beat Dallas. Did you see them get absolutely destroyed by the Seahawks? They just walked away with it. They got away with getting absolutely, like, not destroyed, but Seattle was giving them the business. And they got away with it because Seattle made some boneheaded plays, especially down the stretch. They got away with it. But they're not going to get away with it against the Eagles. I think this is the year. This is the year the Eagles finally win in Dallas. Haven't won in Dallas since the Super Bowl year in 2017.
Come on, man.
This is the year for that to change. Because the bird is the word. And you gonna respect it. Let's get it. Eagles 27, Cowboys 24 in Dallas. We're going to shut up all the haters and we're going to lock up the NFC East. For real. Anyway, man. What's next? The end season tournament. Or should I talk about college football first? No, let's get to end season tournament. NBA end season tournament. Now, when they created it, I kind of like, this is so unnecessary. This is what the WNBA did. I'm like, do we have to do this? Is it needed? And to my surprise, this thing has been a raging success. Like, I didn't think it'd be this good. I think it's better. It's way better than the WNBA's joint. It just is. Because with the WNBA's joint, like, there's no parity whatsoever. And it's been the top two teams in the finals. And there's just no type of semifinals, none of that. It's just, you know what I'm saying, whoever had the two best records in the two pods, they end up facing off against each other in the championship in the WNBA. And you know, the Vegas Aces have been in both. They've been in both championships against whoever is the best team in the East at that time. It's just not much excitement with it. It's just, to me, it hasn't been. Now, the NBA. Okay, like, some of the in-season games in the regular season, at least the regular season part of it, were snoozers, snooze fest, especially ones involving the Wizards. But man, you got the some of them games where, you know, spots in the knockout rounds were on the line and point differential. It got interesting then. And then we came up with Indiana versus Boston, Milwaukee versus New York, LA versus Phoenix, Kings versus Pelicans. We don't get anything like that in the WNBA. I think, see, soccer has done in-season tournaments forever. The NBA and WNBA, they're just now doing it. I think soccer does it the best because those tournaments are really good. Especially in the European leagues, the FA Cup, and all those other things. And if you want to say the Champions League is an in-season tournament, I mean, I guess you could say that. But that's a really good tournament. The League's Cup is a really good tournament. I mean, they do a better job than these basketball leagues. But as far as the NBA is concerned, this has been good. And you're not going to get the parity that we've gotten so far. Indiana and the Bucks are in the in-season semifinals. The other semifinal is the Lakers and the Pelicans. No Denver. No Phoenix. But LA and the Pelicans? No Kings, no Warriors? Man, this is great. This is great. Now, if I go game by game, well, all the games were good and competitive except the Knicks and Bucks. And even that wasn't bad until the fourth quarter where the Bucks just ran away with it. They scored 148 points.
Damn!
Like, half the Bucks team was in double digits. Of course, Dame had 28 and Giannis had 34. But, man, that's crazy. But anyway, that Pacers and Celtics game was amazing. That crowd in Indiana, that was a playoff-like atmosphere. And they had the little they had the alternate jersey. They had the City Edition jerseys. Buddy was going off. Neesmith dunked on Horford to seal the game. Halliburton is playing like an all-star. His dad is hilarious. He was hype. I mean, he was going crazy. Especially, you should have seen when Naismith dunked on Horford. He was doing the little, you know, oh, head top or hand on top of head. Oh, you got dunked on signal. That joint was crazy, man. That was so much fun to watch. I'm so glad I got to watch that Boston-Indiana game. It was amazing. And Tatum and Brown really tried to keep them in the game, but the Pacers was just too much. Buddy wasn't missing. Halliburton is Halliburton. And then Naismith was going off. Like, you what can you do with that? There's nothing you can do with that. The Suns and Lakers is very controversial, but that was fun to watch because I got to see KD and LeBron go at it like old times. They both were just going at it. And this is an in-season tournament? Like, in December? Like, you don't get to see LeBron and KD in 2023 go at it like that in a December regular season game. That was truly amazing. That was truly a treat. Even Austin Reeves, he had a slow start, but he hit some big shots. He hit the dagger to pretty much win them the game. And it's just Austin Reeves. Like, that, he's been like that from the beginning. And I don't know why he didn't get more attention coming out of Oklahoma because he was spectacular. Okay, well, he had some ups and downs at Oklahoma, but he was the man. He was the man. You know what I'm saying? He took all the big shots. He took most of the shots to begin with, but he had that killer instinct at OU. And I'm not surprised what I'm seeing in the NBA. And he's doing this with LeBron on his team. And also, about the last play of the game. Well, close to the last play where I thought when Austin Reeves got the ball and he was defended by Booker and it looked like Booker like bumped into him for a foul. I think there's a lot of refs that would have called Booker on that foul. But Austin Reeves backed into him and Booker was just standing there. He didn't, like, hip check him. He didn't reach. He didn't push him. None of that. Like, Austin Reeves just bounced off of him. Austin Reeves lost the ball. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, no. Austin Reeves ain't doing this. And shout out to LeBron. His basketball IQ is off the charts because I think 99% of basketball players not come calling timeout. They're not calling timeout. And I think the coach... I don't even think the coach was going to call timeout, but LeBron had the presence of mind to call timeout. I think that Austin Reeves did lose the ball and the timeout should not have been granted. But I don't know. Like, it's debatable. Now, the refs say that Austin Reeves had the ball pinned to his leg. You look at the replay, it does look that way, but it's not definitive. But then again, if something's not definitive, you got to go with the call on the floor, and that's the timeout, and that's where we're going to have to go with it. And I don't mind seeing Austin Reeves and LeBron James in the freaking in-season tournament semifinals anyway. They're going against Ingram and Zion. Like, I don't know if McCollum's playing, but that would add to it. Bro, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a movie. I cannot wait. Is this going to be so much fun? It's going to be in LA. Hopefully all the celebrities come out and watch this, because this is going to be fun. I cannot wait. I'm invested. Now, we went from why the heck do we need the in-season tournament to this is pretty good. This is amazing. And it's like, this is amazing. We need more of this. This was a great idea. It was a great idea. The execution of it was a great idea. Steph Curry, funny. Anyway, because Kuminga passed it to Steph Curry when he was out of bounds. To be fair, Steph Curry was standing up on the bench with his full uniform on. So I can see how Kuminga would think he's in the game and pass it to him in the heat of the moment. But you know what I'm saying? That's crazy. Anyway, man. In-season tournament. I want to see more. I think the semifinals is on Thursday. Now we've moved to Las Vegas. And I want to see how this ends. I think it's going to be Lakers and Bucks. No. You know what? No. I'm going with the Lakers and the Pacers. 2000 finals rematch. And then I'll go with the Lakers. I think LeBron and AD, you know, they're going to add this trophy to their trophy case. I'm going to go with that, but I would not be surprised if it turns out to be Pelicans, Bucks, or Bucks, Lakers. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee, they were the favorites anyway to win this thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning it, especially if they play like they did last night. Now, okay. Now let's do college. Oh, and by the way, before I get to some college stuff, the Wizards still trash. The Wizards only got 3 wins. Like, they are trash. And even Kyle Kuzma said they can't guard a stop sign. Damn! Because it's true. Man, these guys ain't guarding nothing. They can't even defend a doorknob. And that's on everything. And also the Caps. Like, oh my God. The Caps got beat so bad by Arizona. Honestly, they should have just stopped playing after the first period. It was 5-0 after the first period.
Come on, man.
Trash. And they got cooked by Vegas. Man, that's ridiculous, bro. Like, hopefully they come back home, get back on track, because what are they doing? Anyway, man, it's a college football. Oklahoma fake got smoked. I told you they were going to get smoked. I told y'all. I said it on Twitter. And all Oklahoma State fans want to talk about was, oh, your Sooner tears taste so good. They were just so happy about us, you know, melting down about not making the Big 12 championship and possibly not making New Year's Six and stuff. They were so happy. They just didn't look to the fact that they were going to get killed. And they did. I told y'all. It was 49-14. Bruh, it was 35-7 at halftime. It might have been 28-7. Anyway, they were dying. Ollie Gordon wasn't going anywhere. And also, he had a meltdown on the sideline. Like on some Odell Beckham versus the Commanders type nonsense. Damn! It was hilarious to watch. So like I said, this was a lose-lose and a win-win. Because somehow, some way, it's both. It depends on which way you want to look at it. If you look at it as a lose-lose, well, Oklahoma's two biggest rivals are playing for the Big 12 championship that should have rightfully been yours, especially after beating Texas. And then also, so it's just no happy days while watching this. It's just no good thing that's coming from either of your rivals winning. It's like, if Oklahoma State wins, not only did they beat you, take your spot in the Big 12 title, but now they're Big 12 champs. And now they're going to be insufferable as you leave the SEC, you and Texas, and they would beat both of you going out the door. You know they would have been assholes about it. You know it. And that would have sucked. But they lost, got humbled. And now they're doing moral victories because, you know, that's what they do over there. That's all they could do. They don't have the accomplishments that the Sooners have or even Texas has in college football. Also, but on the other side, though, Texas wins. It's Texas. They're winning. They're in the playoff conversation. And which means if they make the playoffs, it's going to give them another edge in recruiting. They're going to be closer to winning the title. And then you ain't going to be able to tell them anything either if they end up winning the dang playoffs. And that's exactly what happened. I said, man, it'd be cool to humble Oklahoma State, but then that's going to mean Texas is going to make the playoffs. And that's exactly what happened. They made the playoffs. And I'm like, hell no. Devastated. And you know I'm rooting against them in the playoffs. I can't have them winning nothing significant. So, of course, I'm rooting for Michael Penix, who probably is going to win the Heisman. And, of course, if they get past Michael Penix in Washington, then they will play against either Michigan or Alabama. Now, I'll get to the controversy of that later. But, of course, I'd root for Michigan or Alabama versus Texas. That's a given. I don't mind those teams. I actually like them. So it's definitely no problem to root for them against Texas. Hopefully, Washington takes care of Texas. But anyway, to the win-win part of this, like I said, the win-win part of it, Oklahoma State loses, like I said, they get humbled. And their season doesn't amount to anything. And it didn't. You can say you beat us in the last bedlam, but we have the overall series lead by miles and miles. Also, you didn't win the Big 12 title. You didn't really win anything. And now you're in the Texas Bowl in the fake Red River rivalry, or what the guy said on Twitter, the Dollar Tree Red River rivalry. Little brother Texas A&M versus little brother Oklahoma State. Yep, that is definitely the Dollar Tree Red River rivalry. And it's being played in Houston, right? Yeah. There you go. It's not even being played in Dallas. So, man, I don't know who I want to win there. I don't care who wins that game. Actually, I would rather Texas A&M win that game. But we'll see. Who cares? We'll deal with Texas A&M later because we're going into the SEC. But listen, if Texas would have lost this game against Oklahoma State, it would have been a major choke. They definitely weren't going to make the playoffs. And once again, they wasn't going to amount to anything. So that would have been great. So I guess if I look at it more positively, I guess I'll take the consolation of basically Oklahoma State celebrating moral victories and, you know, celebrating Oklahoma's pain, even though, I mean, what's the point of that? You didn't amount to much once again. And we're going on to bigger and better things in the SEC. Now, also, oh, yeah. And, you know, we could restart Bedlam anytime y'all want. Y'all don't want to do that. Y'all still mad we went to the SEC. You a hater. And you didn't want to come back to Norman to face the music. So, anyway, was I going to talk about the controversy of the playoffs? Yeah, yeah. I thought Florida State should have got in. I can't believe they didn't get in. Even though I was saying when everything was all settled, you know, Alabama beat Georgia, Florida State won, Michigan won, Texas had won, Washington had won on Friday, which, by the way, that was a great job closing out that game. They were very clutch on defense and on offense. They, you know, they got the first downs that they needed to make it happen. So props to Washington. They're going to be a tough out. That's going to be a good game. Washington and Texas. I can't stand Texas, but that's going to be a good game. But when everything was settled, I was like, there's no way you keep an undefeated Power 5 team out of the playoffs. There's no way. It just hasn't happened. And I feel like Florida State deserves it because it's very hard to go undefeated, even in the ACC. So I was like, yeah, sure. Without Jordan Travis, these guys aren't as good as Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama. They're not as good as any of those teams without Jordan Travis. Even though I was thinking that, I thought they still deserve to be in the college football playoff. Key word is deserved. Just because you deserved it doesn't mean you're one of the four best teams currently. And that's what happened. The committee thought that they weren't the four best teams currently. If this was the BCS, they would have been in. If they were going by computers, they would have been in. But we're not going by computers. We're not doing AI. We're not doing AI. So the committee decided they're not one of the four best teams. It didn't help their case that they just struggled on offense against Louisville. The defense was spectacular. The defense is playoff worthy. The offense without Jordan Travis or even their second string or even their second string QB just wasn't worthy enough of the playoffs. And that's what it came down to. I wanted to see all the outrage and it wasn't as much outrage as I thought. I think the majority of the people believe, a slight majority, it's split, but it's more so leaning towards the side of the committee got it right. Florida State doesn't need to be in there without Jordan Travis. But what Jordan Travis said is amazing because he said that, I wish I had broke my ankle sooner so you could see how good this roster is without me. That was kind of heartbreaking and kind of like, what is the word? Like, kind of moving, maybe empowering. So it was, that was a huge statement. You know what I'm saying? I wish we could have seen it. But hey, they get to go against Georgia, who they could have made a case for the playoffs too. So we get to see them too in the Orange Bowl. And I guess we can see how good Florida State really is without Jordan Travis. I think their second string QB will be back. Will they beat Georgia? I doubt it. But if they make that statement and win and they're 14-0, man, oh man, I would love to see the response to that. That would be impressive. But we'll see. Do I think the committee got it right? Yeah. Yeah, I just know that you couldn't put Alabama in over Texas because even though Texas beat Alabama, way early in the season before Jalen Milroe really started to take off. Still, like, they beat him in Tuscaloosa by double digits. You can't ignore that. So that's why you got to put them over Alabama. It's just unfortunate because Ohio State and Georgia, they got one loss and they lost to the teams that are playing each other in the playoffs. And they barely lost at that. They would beat literally anybody else, almost anybody else. So they had a case too. This would have been the one year I would have been cool with a 12-team playoff. But unfortunately, that means OU would have got left out. And the fans would have rioted. You thought they was mad about not making a New Year's Six? They would have really been mad about not making a 12-team playoff.
Fact.
Thankfully, we don't really got to worry about that till next year. But man, they didn't make a New Year's Six. Now, Missouri, I understand. I still feel like you could have put Missouri in another bowl. And you could have put OU in that Cotton Bowl. I think it's Missouri versus Ohio State. I think so. I'm going to double check real quick and see who's on in this Cotton Bowl. Because I felt like we could have been in this damn Cotton Bowl. Because it ain't no way. Missouri and Ohio State, that should have been us, man. I'm going to keep it real. And then you put Missouri in one of these other bowls. Long story short, we should have been in the New Year's Six over Ole Miss and Penn State. And listen to the explanation from, I think, the chairman or one of the people in the committee. They were saying that basically, Missouri, Penn State, Ole Miss all had better losses and played a tougher schedule than OU, so they get rewarded for it. But we got the best win out of us four. We beat Texas on a neutral field, and they're in the playoffs. Like, who have those guys beaten? LSU, Pittsburgh? Like, what are we doing? Who is, like, really, like, who has Penn State beat? Iowa? Four-loss Iowa? If they weren't in the weak other side of the Big Ten conference, they would not have been in the Big Ten championship. If they would have just got rid of divisions, it would have been Ohio State and Michigan in the championship. It would have been a rematch in the championship. So they not that good, bro. Terrible. Who is these guys beating? Seriously. Missouri, okay, you give them a bump because they're in the SEC. Oh, okay. And they did pretty well. All right, whatever. I give you Missouri. Okay, Ole Miss in the SEC too. But who have they beaten, though? Who have they beaten? And they got boat raced by Georgia. Like, come on, bro. Stop playing. Stop playing. Yeah, we lost to Oklahoma State and Kansas. Those are terrible losses. Kansas is barely above average. Oklahoma State's just severely overrated. So, yeah, those are bad losses. They're not as good as Penn State losing just to Ohio State and Michigan. Or Ole Miss losing to, I think, Alabama and Georgia. And then Missouri losing to Georgia and, I think, Alabama. So I'm like, yo, still, who have they beaten? At the end of the day. And I still think we're better. Well, defensively, maybe not. But offensively, I think so. I think we're at least better than Ole Miss and Penn State. But we're not in it. We got to settle for the Alamo Bowl versus Arizona. Arizona team who is about on the level as we are. Like, except, you know, we're kind of 10-2 is a slight disappointment for us. For them, have a 9-3, 10-2 record is pretty good. Their program's on the rise. And everyone's playing. they don't have a bunch of people in the transfer portal like us. I mean, we just lost our starting quarterback. So I don't know how this game is going to go against Arizona at the Alamo Bowl. I got to study Arizona. I mean, from the looks of things, I remember they almost beat USC. And they had some big wins. They're ranked. They're ranked just like us. They're ranked right around the same, you know, mid-teens spot that we are. So it's going to be a good game, at least from the surface. Now, I need to start studying and looking at what they do well. I know their quarterback's pretty fun to watch from what I can remember. So I got to see what is this team's all about to see if they're really a threat. Are they really a threat? I mean, we'll see. They are. They are from the surface. They're going to be a tough team to beat. But I think we can beat them because we're the Sooners. And if we fix our defense, if we come out and play good defense, we'll win. Because this offense, even though we don't have Lebby, we don't have DG, we don't have these guys, but if we can get this offense rolling, there's no one in the country that can stop it. Because it's just, when it gets up-tempo, when it gets its rhythm, who's going to stop this offense from scoring? At its best, it is unreal. And that's why Arizona should be worried. But can they come out and do this without all these key pieces that we're missing? Now, we went through this last year, but at least we had Dillon Gabriel. So, yeah, last year versus Florida State. And that was another situation where we're going against a really good up-and-comer, except last year we were mid. So it didn't look like we could beat them on paper, but this time we're not mid. Like, we a play or two away from being in the playoffs. So we probably would have got killed in the playoffs because our defense has fallen off a cliff like the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I would have loved to see us in the playoffs. But we didn't make enough plays, and we're in the Alamo Bowl. So let's just punish Arizona if we can, and let's roll with it. Let's roll with it. I'm down. Now, okay. Okay, here we go. Now I got to end the show with shouting out Oklahoma basketball. They're undefeated. They won one of those early season tournaments by beating USC. They just beat Providence at home, a pretty good Providence team coached by Kim English. And they beat them handily. But then again, didn't they beat a Brandon Miller Alabama team? Wasn't that similar? And then it just all fell apart. Hopefully it ain't like that. Hopefully this ain't the same movie script where we do good in the preseason or in the non-conference, then we get in the conference and then we fall apart. I hope this ain't another one of them teams. Javion, I think Sanders, is that his name? He's pretty good. Who else? I think Atawe or whatever his name is. I don't know. Like, he's pretty good. Like, we got some pretty good guards. I got to keep watching this team because I don't fully know them yet. But I will get to know them because I still plan to go to Kansas City, even though I went from 80% sure I'm going to now I'm 50-50. I don't know if I'm going or not because I could save money by just staying here and watching the game at home. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm less excited about going because I don't want to spend the money. But I would love to be there in attendance for that game. Hopefully, I'll still get to go. And I think we can beat them. I mean, we've been close with lesser teams. We've taken lesser teams into Kansas and almost came away with the victory. So I feel like this year we could do the same. I don't see why not. This is our last chance to do so before going to the SEC. So we got to make this happen Now, I haven't bought the tickets yet. I probably will. I probably will do the SeatGeek layaway thing. If it's eligible to do that, I'll probably do the SeatGeek layaway thing. Or I'll save the... Oh, no. Is that snow or is that rain? Oh, Lord. Oh, boy. Doing Lyft is going to be interesting. Anyway, I'll probably do the layaway thing, the financing thing for the plane tickets. I'll probably do it for that. And then I could probably get a hotel from Mom's. And is it snowing or raining? Oh, my God. Anyway, man. Anyway, back to the grind. Anyway, as I was saying, we got to beat them, bro. We got to beat them. Got to beat Kansas. But it looks like we're on the right track. So far, so good. They're undefeated. They're getting love from Jeff Goodman and all these other college basketball writers. So you know they're doing good. Doing good, and I'm proud. Now, finally, I'll end on this. So OU softball came to D.C. They were here, of course, to go to the White House and get honored at the White House. They've been an amazing team, amazing program the last 3 years, and have only lost like 4 games in 3 years, maybe 5. They have been wildly successful, and they have come here to celebrate their three-peat. And I don't know how they did this, but our folks at the D.C. alumni chapter, they organized a meet and greet with these guys. I was like, wow, we pulled that off? I had a little bit of time. So I was like, I got to make this happen. I got to go see these girls. And it was at our usual meeting spot, the Astro Beer Hall, which is literally blocks away from the White House. Blocks away from the White House is at a perfect spot. So I decided to go. It was little to no parking. Honestly, I could have street parked, but I didn't want to. I'm lazy, bro. I don't like parallel parking. So if I see too many tight spots, I'll just go ahead and just park in a garage. And that's what I did. I went and parked in the garage, paid my little $15. And I went in the Astro Beer Hall. I got in there. And this is just a bunch of regular people eating like it's a regular happy hour. And then I finally go downstairs and I was like, oh, same thing. But I see some Sooner signs and colors. I was like, okay, maybe it's happening. I saw a bus pull up. So I was like, they gotta be here. And then I see a familiar face. I'm like, oh shit, that's Tierra Jennings. But I went to the restroom. I had to go to the restroom real quick. But I was like, I saw her and I was like, oh, this is really real. And then I came out. I saw Patty. I saw Jada. Man, I saw everybody, man. I saw the whole team. Some of them, I didn't know their names, but they were all there, man. They were all there, all dressed up, looking nice. The Patty Gasso was there. JT was there. The grandkids were there, man. And then my man, Toby Baldwin. It was good to see him, man. That was one of my favorite teachers of all time because he taught me in grad school because he was one of the compliance guys. I don't know if he was a director or he was one of the higher up. I don't know, but he was in that. Now he's in NIL. So, of course, I asked him about it. And he was like, it's different. It's challenging, but, you know, I'm in it, you know. And, you know, congrats to him becoming a new granddad. I think his kid was in high school when I was in grad school. So he's an adult now. He got a kid. So, you know, congrats to him. It was good seeing him. But none of this almost didn't happen because I got in there and I got all nervous. I was like, I know I ain't come all the way here just to get nervous and get all shy around the champs. And I was too nervous to talk to Patty Gasso and get a picture with her. And all these guys were so approachable. They were so nice. Like I could easily talk to every one of them because they were so nice. I was surprised at how down to earth and how easy to talk to some of them were. But at the end of the day, I flagged down Kenzie Hansen, our catcher. So, because I was about to leave because social anxiety set in. I was about to leave. So I flagged her down because I saw her walk past me, not go anywhere, and then walk past me again. I was like, man, she ain't talking to nobody. Let me at least talk to her. And boom, I flagged her down. And she was like, what are you doing over here? Because I was kind of away from everyone, drinking water, kind of figuring out my next move. And I was like, just a little nervous. She was like, I'll talk to you. And we got talking about, you know, softball. And it seemed like she's kind of didn't want to talk about softball that much and didn't want to talk about going for the four-peat. But I brought it up anyway. I wasn't really thinking like that. I told her that I play four different sports and I was going to play soccer after this little meet and greet thing. And she was like, soccer? That's too much running. I was like, what? Aren't you a big time college athlete? Isn't the training for softball intense? She said it is intense, but it still ain't soccer. I'm paraphrasing, but I would love to have her play soccer with me. And then out of nowhere, Alistair Rocco, once we were talking, she came out of nowhere and butted in the conversation. And I was excited about that because I had to be reminded who she was. And I was like, aren't you the girl that went to Michigan first? She was like, yeah. And she's like, it's awesome being on this team coming from Michigan. They were so easy to talk to. I can't believe I was nervous. I should have got a picture with Patty. Jada Coleman and Tierra Jennings, what, they were sitting right there. They were chilling. You know, I should have talked to them. Yeah, I messed up. But it's okay. I'm so glad I got to talk to those two. I'm so glad I got to catch up with Toby. You know, that broke the ice. Me talking to Kenzie broke the ice. But, you know, I should have got pictures. But, you know, I got in my own head and it kind of ruined the experience for me. But it's okay. At least I got to talk to her. And Kenzie is welcome on the show anytime. Any of the softball girls, y'all welcome to come on the show, talk about softball, talk about other sports, whatever. Would love to have you on the show, especially Kenzie. Like, we can continue our conversation on this show. Like, matter of fact, fuck, I'm gonna just go ahead and ask her. If she ignores me or says no, well, screw it. But I got to have her on the show. She was so, so fun to talk to. And she looks amazing. Like, her and Alex, oh my God, they are beautiful. Those are two beautiful women. So, yeah, I got to have one of them on the show. Or both. Hey, that'd be great. Of course, I got to get some fanfare on this, man. Because I can't have 10 people listening to it when hundreds and thousands of people should be listening to an interview with Kenzie Hansen. Man, it's got to happen, bro. I got to make it happen. But anyway, I'm glad they came here. Oh, she also talked about her visit to the Capitol. And you know, anytime anyone visits the Capitol, I got to ask them, did you see the rotunda? And did you see George Washington looking down on us in disapproval? I know you had to have seen that. And she did, and she liked it. So, yeah. Congrats to them. They're amazing. They're inspirational. They're what the GOAT Level brand's all about. They are what greatness is all about. And I'm glad I got to see them. And they're just so humble and down to earth. And I just really blown away by that. And I miss Patty's speech, but I had to get going. Well, I shouldn't have been in a rush to get to soccer because here's why. First of all, soccer started late. Second of all, I sucked. It took me probably the second half of the pickup to really get my rhythm. So I came in there and I was getting cooked. So I could have waited to do that. I could have stayed a little bit longer to hear what she had to say and get some pictures, but I was loafing. So you know what? It is what it is. It was a great experience regardless. I hope I get to see them again. I hope they win the four in a row. It's going to be very hard, But if they can win four in a row and they come back here, I'm going to make sure I don't be nervous and I get all the pitchers I can and talk to all of them. Because that was a great experience. Anyway, man. GoLevelTees.com for all things Go Level. It's Mr. Van Pugh. You already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the GOAT Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.